All right, quick review. Week one. What was the theme of week one and what was the application? Read your Bible, okay. And what was the challenge? Like one chapter, good. You game to try the rest of them? You spoke up first. All right, week two. What was week two? What's that? Yes. It was two. Good. So two prayers, right? Acts, pray to God, and then bless, pray for others. And three. Christian fellowship, good. Three families, good. And last week. Now Daniel figured it out. Service. Nice. I have a gift for you. This is a pen and a flashlight. Sun River branded. That is one of a kind. There's no two pens just like that in the world. I don't know. People who want us to buy their stuff from them just drop stuff off at the office, and so I get to give it away. It's fun. All right, and this week we're going to finish up our family rhythms with evangelism, sharing our faith with others. And there's three passages that I kind of want to use to set the foundation for this. And then we're going to look at how all of these family rhythms tie together. Because it can feel like, oh man, you guys have asked us to do a lot. But I want to show you that each of these is helpful and actually informs the others. Okay? Each rhythm will actually drive you back to the other rhythms. And this becomes just a normal way of living. The first passage, I think, won't surprise any of you. It's Matthew 28, 18 to 20, okay? Jesus said to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's like the main directive that Jesus gives to his disciples. Go baptize. Go make disciples. The thing that I have done with you in the time of my ministry, go do that for others. And we are the recipients of that, right? These 2,000 years later, we are so thankful that the disciples were faithful to the command and the calling that Jesus put on their lives. Because they faithfully did it, and their disciples faithfully did it, and their disciples, and their disciples. And here we are, 2 millennia later, and we are now disciples who hopefully take this seriously. But this is the heart. Right? We are commanded to go. But there's a motivation behind that command, right? If it was just as simple as, okay, go do it, sometimes it's okay. Yeah, mom and dad told me I have to clean my room. Mom and dad told me I have to do the dishes, but it feels like a chore. But evangelism is not meant to be a chore. It's something that we get to do more as a privilege. Why is that? Go to Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is not just something that is a burden on us. It is something the world doesn't even know that they need. And yet we have the profound privilege as disciples of Jesus Christ to take this message into the world, right? It's still a little scary. It doesn't mean it's always going to be comfortable. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how we can weave this into life. The world may reject us, right? I mean, that is a reality. We may think, boy, this is the thing that this person that I know and love absolutely needs. Whether it's a family member or a friend, coworker, another student at the school. And they may just say, yeah, I don't want that. And that's not a lot of fun. It's not hard. But to those who God has called, there will be a great joy that you have faithfully brought this message to them. They will not run away from it. They will walk towards it. They will move towards it as the Spirit illuminates and makes the apparent need in their lives known to them. And then I got the reference wrong on the screen. I forgot to change it. But the third thing, we must be prepared. Peter encourages us in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with gentleness and respect. Now, sometimes we see that and say, hey, I got to make a defense. What is this not saying? What is something that is not being commanded here? Okay, good. We're not going to argue. We're sharing the hope that is in us with what? Gentleness, respect. We are trying to not win them over, as Paul says, with lofty arguments. We are trying to share the love of Christ with them. What else is not here? Does it say anything about perfect theology, perfect doctrine, memorizing all of Scripture? No. Those things are important. We should pursue them. It should be our desire to know God's Word and to share things that are true. But often, the most energetic and excited evangelists are brand new Christians. And they get it completely wrong half the time they open their mouths. But they just love Jesus so much. And the unfortunate reality is, sometimes when we've been at this for a little while, it kind of becomes, well, that's just life. It becomes a little ho-hum, right? But the beauty of who Christ is and what he's done for us should never become something that's just, okay, yeah, Jesus loves me, cool. It should be, no. I am scum without Jesus. I don't deserve any of this. That often becomes much more apparent as you move into adulthood. And you don't need all those answers, right? You don't have to go and say, hey, this is the hope that I have in me. And when they say something like, hey, well, what about this? One of the best things you can say and admit is, I don't know. Let's find out together. And then go to Scripture. Invite them into conversation about what the Bible says. Now, there are five specific aspects, and I don't know that Chris intended this, but as I was looking at these different aspects and I was putting this together, I realized all of these aspects tie together, and they tie specifically back to the different rhythms that we have been talking about. Okay? And I thought this was pretty cool. So the first one that I will encourage is, we want to intercede. Well, what is intercession other than prayer? Right? When someone is laid on your heart, or you have that person that you just care so deeply about and you want to see them come to know Christ, the first thing you ought to do is pray. Pray that God would move in their lives. Pray that they would be receptive to the gospel. Pray that they would see their need for Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can do ultimately to win them to Christ apart from the work of the Spirit. It's a both and. We faithfully proclaim who Jesus is and what he's done. But ultimately, it's God that's going to make it grow. Even the Apostle Paul didn't claim any credit for the work of souls won to Christ. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it is the Spirit of God that made it grow, that transformed their lives. Number two is to initiate. Well, what better way to initiate a conversation with someone about who Jesus is than to invite them into community? Right? Well, what does the Apostle John tell us about how the world will perceive Christians? He says it a lot, both in his gospel and in 1 John. What's that? Well, there is that too. There's a warning. You will be rejected. But what does he say about Christian community? How will it have an effect on the world? He says, this is how they will know. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, by how you love one another. Right? And when you invite someone who is not a Christ follower to be part of and to see what it's like to live in Christian community and you are loving one another, they're going to see, and well, this is different. This is not how my friends behave with one another. This is not how they treat one another. There's a kindness, there's a gentleness. There's a caring here that is absent in other areas of my life. And where they don't see that, you may want to ask some questions about you and your friend group, potentially. And from there, you can initiate spiritual conversations and say, why do you guys do this? Why do you hang out and have these conversations? Why are you guys all so excited about Jesus and the Bible? Well, now you have more opportunity to ask things like, well, what are your spiritual beliefs? What do you think about the Bible? What do you think about this Jesus guy? It becomes very natural to start these conversations, right? The third is we want to identify for them the problem. Well, where do we find out what the problem is? The Word of God. It helps us understand the depth of depravity of the human soul. And so we do have to know what the Bible teaches, the warnings that it has, the natural condition of our hearts. But the good news is that that's not where it stops. It gives us the good news of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. It reminds us of all those beautiful promises that Jesus gave to us. Not just in what he did on the cross, but what he continues to do by sending the Spirit. And ultimately, I'm studying end times right now in school. It's riveting, as you can imagine. It's not confusing at all. I have all the answers. Go ask Andy. But the one thing that is abundantly clear, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to put it all right. That's an incredible hope that we have. The fourth way is we want to invade their world. Now, this could be literally just getting into their spaces and making friends with these individuals. Okay, maybe it's sports, maybe it's theater groups. Maybe it's the chess club. Maybe it's a pizza thing at your school. Whatever it is, you want to get into their lives. And one of the best ways to do this is acts of service. Right? Whether it's individually, you know, you find out that, oh, this family has this need, and you invite the church to come around them and to meet that need. Or going and doing something like Union Gospel Mission, going on SMI, getting into the lives and the spaces of individuals who often have no hope, find themselves very confused and discouraged by life. We can invade. We can bring hope. We can bring light into their lives. And then fifth becomes an invitation. And this is really the heart of evangelism. It's offering an opportunity to know Jesus, to come into relationship with him. Right? Not just to step into the religion of all the do's and don'ts of Christianity, but to know the Savior of the world personally. Now that'll transform a heart and they will begin to care about those do's and don'ts. But that's not the point of this. The point of this is not to read a list of here's the right way to live, here's the wrong way to live. The point is to put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. We get the chance this morning in service to celebrate baptism. This public proclamation of I want to be identified with him. I'm dying to myself. Bury me and I'll come back to life as a follower of Christ. We get to invite people into that relationship. And what a joy it is to see a heart and a life transformed by the gospel. Now, this is where it gets interesting as I was looking at this, okay? These rhythms kind of flow naturally into evangelism, okay? So if we start with, in order for me to know God's word and share it, I have to be in God's word, right? It's hard to share something that you're not knowledgeable about. So we should be reading scripture. We should be doing our best to discern it individually and in community at the church. We should be, as we talked about, we should be praying. We should be interceding for those who we wish to evangelize. We should be asking God to begin to move in their lives. We should, as I said, bring them into fellowship. Invite them into your homes. Invite them into your life. Invite them into your community so that they can see Christians loving one another. And then we should be serving them. We should be invading their lives. But then, all of that, oddly enough, kind of works in reverse as well, okay? Because when I go and I start sharing the Word of God with them, they may start asking questions that I don't know. And again, it brings me back to God's Word. And I continue to study. I continue to grow. There are biblical scholars who have devoted their lives to understanding the Word of God. And they'll still say, I don't know. I've never wrestled with that passage. They've spent 40, 50 years doing nothing but study God's Word. And there are still passages where they say, I don't know. I'll have to study that someday. It is so rich and so deep. There's a reason. There's a million books on every little verse in the Bible. The same becomes true of a Christian fellowship and of service. Now, often those will go hand in hand. It's not unusual that we are going out and serving together and meeting needs. And while we're serving together, people are seeing the way that we are living and they're seeing the way that we interact with one another. And it invites them in. It draws them in. But it doesn't just end there, right? When I want to understand the Word of God, what do I need to do? I need to pray. I need to be seeking understanding, not because it's not going to come just by understanding literally the words on the page. There are plenty of testimonies of individuals who memorized huge chunks of Scripture, and they were not moved by it at all. It had no effect on their lives. So we need to pray that God would open our eyes and give us understanding. But then often that's going to drive us as we come to understand these ridiculously incredible promises of God. It's going to drive us back into prayer. As we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Help me to live up to all that you've commanded. Help me to live a life that shows transformation from the gospel. And the same becomes true when we serve one another or we are in Christian fellowship. We will pray for one another. Others will pray for us. And the same is true when we're in fellowship and service, and then service in God's Word. It all ultimately becomes intertwined. So instead of this becoming, hey, here's five things that you need to create this checklist, and you need to be in God's Word every day. Okay, and you need to do your one chapter, and you need to be praying with your family every day. At the heart of all of this is simply a life lived faithfully to Christ. And it's our hope that these rhythms become something that facilitates this in your lives as a family. But the nice thing is they all have immediate application. Because they all are intertwined and they all drive each other forward. As our lives are conformed to who God is and what He has done. Our invitation is to make these a normal part of your life. Something that's just, you take it for granted in the best way possible. Well, of course I get up in the morning and I read my Bible. Well, of course the first thing we do is have breakfast and pray. Well, of course we have families into our home. Well, yeah, of course we go out together and serve. Of course. Isn't that what every Christian does? And if I can just talk to the youth for a second, it's very easy when you're raised around this stuff to do exactly that, to take it for granted. And then at some point, you're going to get kicked out of mom and dad's house because you need to be kicked out. You need to go adult at some point. It's no fun. Don't believe the lies. But at some point, you're going to become an adult. And this is all going to be something you have to do for yourself. And our hope is that mom and dad have laid a foundation that shows you the importance of this. And you get into the world probably sometime after you're out of college, because you'll have a lot of community in college or not in college. College is a scam. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke. But you're going to realize I miss that. I don't know what it was. I don't understand it. But there were people in our home, and they were loving on my family, and we would go and help mow lawns and do all these little things. And you will hopefully desire that as a normal rhythm of life. And that was my story. I went off to college. I had great community in college. But then I graduated, and it was like, where's all my community? Right? We all went back to our respective states that we were from. And, yeah, we stayed in touch a little bit. I mean, I didn't even have a cell phone then. I know it was like when the dinosaurs were on the earth. It was forever ago. But it was not easy because my community disbanded. And where did I find community? I went back to church. And I found this community of people living out the gospel of Christ that accepted me in, helped me grow in it. Especially when things were really, really hard. Especially when I made very foolish mistakes in my life and in my faith. And so this just became a normal part of life. And it's not a burden. It's a joy and a beautiful gift that I get to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the application for this week is, I mean, you have the five I's, and you can write those down. But really, we're going to use the same one that Chris Ireland used a few years ago. Go home and write down those five names. Go home and write them down. Who are five people that you know? And if that's too intimidating, great. Write down one to start. Maybe it's a cousin or an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's a friend at school. For some of you, maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sibling. But start to just intercede for them. Start to initiate conversation with them. Use these rhythms as something that drives your motivation so that ultimately they can also know the hope and the joy that is in you. What a profound gift that God has given us. And can I just tell you, this church, it's been awesome to see in the last 4 years how we have grown in this. Testimony after testimony after testimony of people coming and saying, I just felt like I belonged. I just immediately felt like I was loved. And it had a radical effect on their affections and on their lives. When we give our lives wholly to Christ, both individually and in community, these just become a normal part of life. It's not something that you have to have a big checklist. You just get to go and do it, and you won't even think about it. So go and write down those five. Invite them into this community. Invite them to know this Savior who has changed your life. Allow me to pray. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to come together, to know you, to walk in newness of life. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you saw fit, starting thousands of years ago, to write down your commands, to write down, to use men and women to share your story of redemption and reconciliation, to send your son so that we could be reconciled to you. I thank you that you allow us to come to you in prayer. I thank you that you are not a God who is far off, but one who invites us to be near, to hear the words that we pray. That we don't have to ask ourselves, when we are in Christ, we know that you are interceding, that the Spirit intercedes. Even when we don't know what words to pray, the Spirit does the work for us, to the Son, who sits at your right hand, interceding on our behalf. I thank you for Christian fellowship, that when life is hard, there are men and women who can step into our lives, who can be an encouragement, who can share our burdens, who can lighten our load, and that we can do the same for them. And I thank you that we have the opportunity to serve one another in these ways, whether it's meals or tangible needs or simply prayer. And ultimately, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of taking the gospel to the world. We know that you continue to move. We know that you are accomplishing your purposes, even when it seems a little confusing and we don't get it and we don't like the way things are turning out. We know that you are faithful and you are true and you are moving. Help us to embody these truths, to be a faithful witness to all the nations. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. All right, everybody. I'm going to invite Gianni back up, unless there's no instructions, Gianni, for the youth. All right. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you so much for being part of these weeks. It is our desire to continue to provide these kinds of opportunities for families to be together and to do stuff together, to learn together, so that you guys can go out and have these conversations and continue to grow in unity as a family. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody. We'll see you in service.